Well, as I said, I'm going to be brief and make sense. Mac read Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. And Matthew tells this story of the birth of Jesus really from Joseph's point of view. And I had a lot of words to say this morning. And as I was driving in, I just said, Lord, okay, help me to be brief and make sense. And the Lord just said, Ryan, I want you to scrap everything that you had planned to say. And here's what I want you to say. I love that when the Lord does that. One of the things I had planned to say is that the Lord does intervene at just the right time in our lives. Amen to that. And he did do that. He did do that for Joseph. I mean, at just the right time, God sent an angel to Joseph. Anybody ever experienced that at just the right time in your life? God shows up in some form, whether it be through the encouragement of a brother or sister in Christ, or through the word of God himself, that God speaks up and he shows up at just the right time. Joseph had decided what he was going to do. But as Mac read, that Joseph was this righteous person, this righteous man. He thought about God, he meditated on God's word, and he was trying to, you know, think of what to do in this situation. It was an awkward situation for Joseph that he was in. Mary was pregnant, though that they had not come together yet officially as a married couple. That must have meant that Mary was unfaithful to Joseph. I mean, I think sometimes we forget that these are real, real people, Mary and Joseph. Maybe because we've seen images like this or something, but these are real people with real emotions. And it was a dark time for them. What do you do in this situation where you find out that your wife has probably been unfaithful? And because of that, the culture would say then she needs to be punished by law for a person committing adultery. I mean, this was a serious dark time, but God intervenes in the life of Joseph. So what are the essentials that we need to know and just be reminded of this time of year? God seemed to talk to me as I was driving in this morning. If you take a look at your notes, at the third part there where it says, God with us, saving and revealing himself to us is what the Christmas story is all about. Amen. God with us, saving and revealing himself to us is what the Christmas story is all about. Look at verses 21 through 25. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet: the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, and he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. I don't know how many of you have had a dream, and after you have woken from your dream, you said, whoa, that was a wild dream. Anybody ever say that before? Just two people. I mean, sometimes I have wild dreams, and you want to express what happened in the dream, but you can't fully express it because it was so crazy and so wild. I'm sure Joseph must have been there. Can you imagine Joseph and Mary coming together, and Joseph says, you know what, I had this dream. And Mary says, you know what, God showed up to me, though, in a form of an angel. And God showed up to you in a dream as an angel. I mean, the confirmation in that must have, as wild as the dream was, God must have given them a sense of peace. You know, there's a story that one day, author C.S. Lewis, he was sitting in his office in the English department when a friend who was an unbeliever wandered in. There were carolers below in the courtyard singing Christmas carols, and as the two were speaking, they could hear them singing a Christmas carol that contained words about Jesus' virgin birth. His unbelieving friend said to C.S. Lewis, "Isn't it good that we know better than they did?" C.S. Lewis said, "Well, what do you mean?" "Well, isn't it good that we know more than they did?" "I'm afraid that you'll have to explain," Lewis said. "Well, isn't it good that we know that virgins don't have babies?" C.S. Lewis looked at him incredulously and said, "Don't you think they knew that? That's the whole point. You know, the virgin birth is a miracle. It's nothing short of miraculous. I mean, it's not a normal birth. It's a divine birth. I mean, that's why it's called the incarnation of Jesus. It's not normal. It's divine. John 1 talks about what we call the incarnation. It says, "In beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God." And then verse 14 tells us that he came and he dwelt among us. He became flesh and he dwelt among us. This birth is scandalous, right? That Mary and Joseph, they were engaged to be married, which, by the way, engagement is a whole lot different than what we know of today. It came about through parents. They were like the matchmakers. How many of you would have enjoyed that, your parents arranging that? I saw some no. And it also came about, if it weren't the parents being the matchmakers, they had professional matchmakers, right? That's how this whole thing came about. It was scandalous. It was scandalous because Mary and Joseph, they didn't not know each other like that. They didn't. They lived apart during that engagement time. That's kind of the stage that we're in here in this scripture. But it was also scandalous because God became flesh. You see, most people, they have an idea about God. They might believe that there's a God. But the part about God becoming flesh is difficult for some people. Because the incarnation of Jesus, the Word becoming flesh, means that God did not have to give up being God. He was fully God and fully man at the same time. God becoming flesh also means that he had skin like you and I. He had emotions like you and I. He had a body like you and I. That's a scandalous thought to most people. Hebrews 2:17, though, says this: "For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, that he might make atonement for the sins of the people." I'm thankful for the incarnation of Jesus. Amen. For God becoming flesh. Amen? That he was made like us in every way. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who was unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." You know, at this time of year, we sing about and we say, "Emmanuel, God with us." And we like to use that to encourage people. To say, "Hey, God, Emmanuel, God with us. He's with us in our times of discouragement. He's with us in, you know, the chaos of our life. He's with us in difficult situations." And that's all very true. But friends, we're missing the picture of God becoming flesh if that's what we all boil it down to. We're missing the boat on that. It's bigger than that. It's bigger than that. Matthew, in this scripture, he cites Isaiah 7:14, where he says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and we'll call him Emmanuel. If you read the prophet Isaiah, you'll know that the nation was undergoing a difficult time where there was threat to the nation. However, the birth, the foretelling of this, the birth of this God becoming flesh demonstrated that God would save them, that God would be this Savior. And even though through chaos and through fear that the nation was in, it gave them hope that there would be this Savior. Even through the chaos of life and war, in the face of war and conflict, it gave them hope of this Savior becoming flesh. Not only that, friends, but in the face of war and conflict and chaos that the prophet Isaiah prophesied during that time also meant that the birth of this Savior meant that there was going to be nothing that happened that God did not already know about. Amen? We have a lot of chaos right now in our world, as someone has already alluded to in our service. But there's nothing that has happened or that will happen that God does not already know about. Emmanuel, God with us. Verse 21 reminds us that he's not only Emmanuel, God with us. He's not just that. He's Emmanuel, God with us, who saves us from our sins. You know, the Jews, they expected saving. As the writer is writing about this, the Jews expected saving. They wanted saving from the Romans who were politically oppressing them. They wanted safety in their land, security in their land. They wanted independence. They wanted their rights in this land. It kind of sounds like some similar topics that happen in our world today. It's no different today than it was back then. They wanted all of that. But Jesus says here in verse 21, you know what? All those things might be good, but all those things are temporary. Because I came not to just be with you, but to save people from their sins. Friends, that's the story of Christmas. That God with us and God saving us from our sins. That is the essential part of Christmas. Let's not get confused about everything that's going on in the world. Let's remember the reason why he came. One of my favorite stories in the Gospels, they all tell the same this story. There's a man who was paralyzed and he was lying on a mat. And four friends had compassion on him, and they see him on the side of the road, and they said, hey, if we can just get this man to Jesus, then we know that he will be healed. He'll be able to walk again. And so they go to where Jesus was speaking, and he's in this home, but it's too full. They can't get in. So someone, I'd like to know who had the bright idea, said, we're going to go up on the roof, and we're going to start digging a hole through this guy's house. And they dig a hole. They make this big hole in the roof, and they had some rope, obviously, attached to the four corners of the mat, and they begin to lower him down through the roof, and they get him right into the center of Jesus, where Jesus is at. The guy's obviously paralyzed. He can't get up, and Jesus looks at him, and he says, son, your sins are forgiven. What? That's not my problem, Jesus. I don't know what your problem is, but that's obviously not my problem. My problem is that my legs don't work. I've been laying on this mat on this road for a long time. And now this is my chance to get in front of you. You've been healing all these people. You've been setting people free. Demons have been like coming out of people. I mean, some crazy stuff is happening. And I just want to walk. And Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. You see, friends, we only see, are able to see the outside of things. But Jesus sees our true need. He knows our true need, and that is for us to have peace with God. He sees our hearts. That is the message of Christmas, that God with us, Him becoming flesh, Him coming to save. But not only that, friends, but Him coming to reveal Himself to us. Jesus did not come so that we could be debt free. Jesus did not come so that we could be financially rich. Jesus did not come so that we wouldn't have any troubles in this world. Jesus did not come to heal every sickness that we face every single day. He did not come for all of that. Sure, all those are benefits of Jesus if He blesses us in those ways. But He came to be with us. He came to save us. He came to reveal Himself to us. I'm not too sure who wrote this, but someone said, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, so God sent us a Savior. Amen? The last few verses go on to say this: all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. I love how Matthew here in this gospel, he looks back and reminds us that these things were foretold 700 years before Christ. He quotes from Isaiah 7 that I already read for us. Jesus would be born and He would go on to live. You know who He would live for? Listen to these scriptures. Isaiah 53 verse 5. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on Him, and by His wounds we are healed. Whose iniquities is Isaiah talking about? Whose is it? Whose transgressions is the prophet Isaiah talking about? Ours. See, the incarnation of Jesus, God with us, wasn't just so that we could have some lofty idea about God, some wacko belief. He came to be with us. He came to save us. He came to reveal Himself to us. The significance of Christmas, if you remember some of the Old Testament, that people could not come near to God. Only specific priests could go into the holies of holies one time a year. But you and I wouldn't have been able to be before God. Moses, when he was before God, he had to have a veil over his face. He couldn't even look at God. But the incarnation of Jesus made it all possible for us to come so close to the heart of God and for God to send His Holy Spirit, not just to be around us, but to be with us. The question I want to ask to you this morning, just as Joseph and Mary had to take some courageous steps, how is God inviting you to take some courageous steps in your faith this Christmas and into the new year? What would those steps look like? And lastly, friends, as Jesus came to reveal Himself, as Jesus came to save us, making the forgiveness of sins possible so there would not be a barrier between us and God. I wondered this morning as I was driving in, for those of us who are followers of Jesus, I wonder if there's any person or people in our life that we need to extend grace and mercy to and forgiveness to, just as Jesus did to us through the incarnation of Jesus. May you think about that. And would you have the faith of Joseph and Mary to then and go to ask for forgiveness where that needs to happen? Let's pray.